This morning I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, found on page 12, number 30 in your pew Bible. And this is the story of John the Baptist. Crowds of people came out to be baptized by John, but John said to them, "You bunch of snakes, who warned you to run from the coming judgment? Do something to show that you really have given up your sins. Don't start saying that you belong to Abraham's family. God can turn these stones into children of Abraham. An axe is ready to cut the trees down by their roots. Any tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." The crowds asked John, "What should we do?" John told them, "If you have two coats, give one to someone who doesn't have any. If you have food, share it with someone else." When tax collectors came to be baptized, they asked John, "Teacher, what should we do?" And John told them, "Don't make people pay any more than they owe." Some soldiers asked, "And what about this? What do we have to do?" And John told them, "Don't force people to pay money to make you leave them alone. Be satisfied with your pay." Everyone became excited and wondered, "Could John be the Messiah?" John said, "I am just baptizing with water, but someone more powerful is going to come. And I am not good enough to untie his sandals, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, with threshing forks in his hand, and he is ready to separate the wheat from the husks. He will store the wheat in the barns and burn the husks with fire that never goes out." In many different ways, John preached the good news to the people. May God bless this reading of the scripture.
You pray with me. God of us all, I pray once again that these words will first be acceptable to you, that in your own way you will use them to open up our hearts, drawing us closer to you and to each other. We pray in your name, Lord. Amen. In 1865, on a Christmas Eve night, a man by the name of Phillips Brooks was visiting Jerusalem. And while he was there on Christmas Eve night, he decided to take a horseback and ride to a place called the Shepherd's Field. Now, at this time, the Shepherd's Field was believed by many people to be the place where the angels sang to the shepherds that first Christmas Eve long ago, announcing the birth of Christ. Now, the real cool part about this is as Phillips Brooks was going back, riding back to Bethlehem, he saw the little town in the distance, and he was inspired to write the Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Now, by the way, that song was first sung by a Sunday school Christmas program in 1868. As all of us know, "O Little Town of Bethlehem" is a Christmas carol about the birth of Christ, and it's about hope for the world, and it's about Emmanuel. It's about God with us. And then there was John the Baptist. He didn't write any Christmas carols, but he was quite a character in our passage. Can I put that right there? In our passage today from Luke, we can almost hear John yelling at people. That was the kind of character he was. "You brood of vipers," he yelled. "You better repent or else." And then he warned the people. He said something like, "The axe is already at the root of the trees, and any tree that does not bear good fruit is going to be chopped down and thrown into the fire." And then, after all this fire and brimstone stuff, the passage ends like this. "And with more words," it says, John encouraged people. John preached the good news to them. And I was thinking this last week as I read that, you know, if that's John's idea of good news, I would hate to see his bad news. John the Baptist, he reminds me of kind of an angry football coach whose team is behind at halftime, and so he gathers all of his players in his locker room and spends most of the time yelling at them because they're not playing very well. And as the players are going back out in the field for the second half, one of the older football players says to one of the younger football players, "Don't let it bother you," he said. "The coach always yells at us because he wants us to be the best that we can be." And you know, I wonder, in John's own harsh way, if he didn't preach to the people because he wanted the people to be the best they could be. Today is the third message in a series of four that Pastor Ray and I are doing based on Rick Warren's book called The Purpose of Christmas. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you heard us talking about the Christmas story in general. And then last week, Pastor Ray talked about Christmas as a time for celebration. And today, we're going to take a look at Christmas as a time for salvation. When the right time finally came, it says in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 4, when the right time finally came, God sent his own Son. God sent his own Son for our salvation. And if you want to know the bottom line for Christmas, I believe that's it. And God sent his own Son. Someone once said that another name for salvation is freedom. Think about that. You might ask, well, freedom from what? Well, freedom from our sins. Freedom from the lives we sometimes find ourselves living. Freedom to be the persons God creates us to be. A little 3-year-old girl was sitting in a car with her dad. It was really hot outside, and they were waiting for their mom to finish shopping and stuff like that. And she was buckled in her car seat in the back seat. And she was miserable, really, really miserable. She was growing more frustrated and more impatient sitting there in the heat, buckled to that car seat and everything else. Finally, this little 3-year-old girl, she stuck her head out the window and she yelled as loud as she could, "Please, God, get me out of this." The little girl, you see, was crying out for help, wasn't she? She couldn't free herself. She needed someone stronger and bigger and more powerful to rescue her. What she really needed was a Savior. And that's the exact predicament the people 2,000 years ago found themselves in. They were stuck. They were stuck in their sins. They were stuck in their guilt. They were stuck in their fears and in their lies and in their destructive habits. The common cry of people 2,000 years ago was similar to the common cry of that little girl. "Please, God," they yelled, "and get us out of this." And if you think about the Christmas story, that's exactly what God did. God freed us. God sent Jesus Christ into our world to take away our sins, and in the process of them being taken away, restored our relationship with God and enabled us to be the kind of people God created us to be. I think Phillips Brooks was right when he wrote, listen to this first verse again, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." And that's why we need to always remember and celebrate Christmas. This is when God sent his Son into our world to be our Savior, to free us from our sins, to free us to live better lives. A son one time gave his parents a brand new, up-to-date, all the bells and whistles microwave oven. And the parents were really excited to get this microwave oven. They never owned one before. And so the father, he took the box that came in, and he carefully unpacked it, and he plugged it in, but the thing wouldn't work. He even read the directions, and it still wouldn't work. And so a couple of days later, the mom was visiting with some friends. They're sitting in her kitchen, and she pointed to her brand new microwave oven sitting in the corner that didn't work, and she said, "I give up. I just don't know how to work that thing. I wish," she said, "I wish that my son had come along with the gift to show us how to use it." And that's exactly what God did, right? When God gave us the gift of salvation, God sent his Son to make it personal, It's almost like a Christmas card from God to you and to you and to you, to all of you. Salvation, then, is a gift. And like all gifts, salvation is free. The only thing we can do is simply to receive this gift. It's to accept the gift. It's to take the gift and to unwrap it and to give thanks to God for Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel. And so today, as we head towards Christmas Day and the birth of Christ, we need to remember that the purpose of Christmas is about our salvation. It's about our freedom. I think Phillips Brooks was right when he wrote, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." I can almost see him, picture him on his horse riding back to Bethlehem, seeing all the hopes and fears of all the years, of all the people, seeing all those things being met in thee tonight.